Last week, I shared the first part of Joseph's dilemma, dream, and decision. And today, I'll follow up with Joseph's decision. And going back to Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18, we'll start there. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting disgrace, her planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph awoke from his dream, from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus. Now, last week we talked about Joseph's dilemma and his dream. And according to Joseph, or if you was in his shoes, you might be thinking, but what would everybody think? You ever thought about that? Ever come across your mind, what will everyone think if I do this or I follow through with this? Well, I'm sure, and probably that's what went through Joseph's mind. But Joseph changed his mind quickly after learning about God's plan for his life through the angel. The angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. He obeyed God and proceeded with the marriage plans, as the scripture tells us. And although others may have disapproved of his decision, Joseph went ahead with what he knew was right. You ever had that problem, doing what was right, even though you might get criticized or somebody might think differently of you? It's always best to tell the truth, isn't it? Or go ahead with what's right. And sometimes we avoid doing what is right because of what others might think. And like Joseph, we must choose to obey God rather than to seek approval of others. I'd rather be in God's will and seek his approval than man's. How about you? And even though we may not understand it at the time, but it always is for the best when you do God's will. So let's look back at the first two thoughts on Joseph from last week, and the first one was Joseph's dilemma. Realizing and finding out about Mary being with child, knew it wasn't his, wasn't sure what had happened, but through this dream, it was clarified by the angel that it was by God, the Holy Spirit, and that he would be the one to take care of Mary and baby Jesus, and they would call him Emmanuel or Jesus. Now, in Joseph's dream, verses 20 through 23, verse 20 says, while he thought on these things. Kind of reminds you of Mary when she found out about the birth of Jesus. He'd be having a son, and they would call him Jesus. She pondered on those things. When Jesus was 12 years old and went back to the temple, when they was there to worship, and they went back home, and Jesus stayed there, and he said among the high priests and the leaders there, and they learned from Jesus, didn't they? But they came back, and Jesus said, you know, I must be about my Father's will. When she questioned him, why didn't you go with us? Then, again, Mary pondered on these things. And so through the scriptures, it says that Mary or Joseph and others pondered on these things that were spoken. Now, Emmanuel means, well, from John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, which means Emmanuel, God with us. Now, we don't serve God that is far away, do we? God's presence is always near us. And we ought to draw near to Him as He draw near to us. And then Isaiah says, draw near to the Lord while there is time. And of course, there was sin back then in the Hebrews, Israel, and so forth. And God was said, draw near to me while you have an opportunity. And here it says, God dwell among us. So we don't serve a God that is afar off. He's close to us. You know, watching at a distance. You remember that the song Beth Midler that sang at a distance? Remember that song? Has actually been sung in churches as if it were a good because it mentioned God. But the theme is that from a distance, it looks like it's okay to God. But to get down close, you have to see we're in a mess in our world. So God's not at a distance. He knows what's going on. He preordained everything from the very beginning, even for the birth of Jesus. So He is close. That's why Emmanuel is so important for us to understand here in the Scripture and what John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Boy, I'm glad, aren't you, that Jesus dwelt among us, even before our time, before we're here, but He's here in the presence in the Spirit. That's why it's so important to understand in our lives that God is with us. God be with us always. So, when I couldn't go where He was, He came to me. He came to you. And He took on the flesh and was made in the likeness of men. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, 15, it says, for we have not an high priest. See, we're priesthood of believers. How many of you knew that? You knew that? You're a priesthood of believers. Now, Jesus is the high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us, yet without sin. Now, he lived sinless. Christ did. Perfect life, and we cannot live. We cannot live it. We try, don't we? At the best, we try to live a sinless life. And when we don't, then we go to the throne, we give to the altar, wherever we are, and we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And He is a God that is touched by our infirmities, which means our weaknesses, or nail it down to fine-tuned point, is our sins. So He is touched by when we come to Him and asked Him to forgive us of our sins. So He lived a sinless life, perfect life that we could not live, died the sacrificial death in our place, rose and conquered death for us, to make it possible for us to be with him, God with us, that might be in us, his Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwelleth in us. That's why that is so important, as I say again, Emmanuel, God with us, are in our lives. Each day, as you go about your daily activities, you should be able to feel the presence of God in your life. If you're a Christian, that's why it's so important. God is with us. God is in our lives. And he is always at work. Well, matter of fact, the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is always at work in our lives. When you feel his closeness, that's when you are the closest to him as you go about your daily activities. You know, when you're driving or when you're out, just moseying along, just enjoying your life, God is with you. So we've seen Joseph's dilemma. We've seen his dream, the cause of this conception, and the character of this child, Jesus. So now let's go move on to Joseph's decision. In verse 24, the key word is he did. He did according to what the angel told him to do. So Joseph's decision was to be faithful to the will of God. You know, if you want to have a peace of mind, a peace of heart, do the will of God. Obey the will of God. And that's what Jesus did. He did what God told him, to bear the responsibility, shame, as if he and Mary had sinned. Of course, they didn't. But to bear up under the responsibility, even though they did not sin, but it gave that appearance. He was to be faithful. And keep in mind, we hold them in high regard for being the people we know them to have been. But it wasn't like that in their day. Now, Mary could have been stoned for that. They lived under a cloud of public shame as though they were guilty of immortality. And Joseph, he accepted the responsibility of caring for a woman thought to have been a fornicator and rearing a child to be illegitimate. He was willing to do that. Now, looking at Joseph's decision further. Joseph's decision was to do what was right, no matter the cost. To God's will, even in the face of criticism, even if we're misunderstood or falsely judged. See, Joseph was willing to do that. You know, that takes love. That takes the love of God to follow through and be obedient as Joseph was. And as I said last week, we don't know that much about Joseph. There's not that much mention about Joseph. And praise God, he had the privilege and the honor to be a part of God's plan. Just like you and I. You know, whatever you think of what your will and purpose and plan is of God, you have one. And thank God that, and be honored that God has chosen you wherever you are in your life, your Christian life, and however he uses you, whatever capacity, it's a privilege, it's an honor to serve God that so served us by Jesus' death, actually coming into this world as a child, growing up among us, and dying for our sins. See, Joseph stayed by Mary's side. He was right there. Even though he probably didn't understand everything even up to this point, other than taking what the angel had shared with him in a dream, he was faithful. He made the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Why? Why did he do that? To do the will of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 2, 14, He leads Mary and the baby to Egypt. Why? Because God told him back in chapter 2, or in chapter 2, we're in chapter 1, but in chapter 2, verse 13, he's doing the will of God. Now, if you want to be faithful, if you want to be blessed from in this day or tomorrow and the next day, and looking in the past, if you have been doing the will of God, you'll be blessed. So, then we see Joseph later raising the child Jesus, teaching him a trade, taking him to the temple. What was he doing? Again, he was following the will of God, just like you and I should be doing each day of our life. And nothing greater can be said of you and me when we are dead and buried than that we did the will of God. We did the will of the Father. Now, if we're honest, we all struggle, don't we, with the will of God, or finding our purpose. Sadly to say, I've had so many people and many Christians say, I don't know what my purpose is. And I could say this morning, do the will of God. If we don't know what it is, then we are to pray. Ask the Heavenly Father, as Joseph or Abraham or any of the Old Testament and New Testament people that God worked through, which was ordinary people just like you and I, but he did extraordinary things in their lives because they was faithful, they was obedient, and they was willing to do the will of God. So, if we're honest, we all struggle with God's will because we have a will of our own. It's called the free will, right? The free will. And everyone in this sanctuary likely has struggled with God's will in their life, in some area of your life, at some point in time. I have. Many years ago, before I accepted the call to full-time ministry, to serving God as a pastor, I struggled with that. It wasn't just a week or a day. It was more like 8 years. So we struggle. You know, God gets our attention, doesn't he, Rand? Yeah, I thought I was going to die before I said yes. Then when I realized that that was God's will, everything was okay after that. I got much better. God does some testing in our lives when we're not in his will, or he's wanting to get us in his will. So, what is God's will for us, all of us? Well, first of all, for you to be saved, for everyone to be saved, everyone that comes into this world to have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be saved. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, what an opportunity, what a privilege it is that Jesus Christ came into this world, whether it was December 25th, whatever month, whatever date, Jesus came into this world to be the Savior of the world in order that you might be saved, because it started back in Genesis when man sinned. Man took of the fruit, disobeyed God because he had a mind of his own and made a choice, a bad choice, and we make bad choices in our lives, but God makes restitution for that. And we got to be willing to reconcile that we might be justified and righteous before God. The second truth, or the second thing for us is for you to be sanctified. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." That means being set apart. That means to be willing to be in the will of God. Do God's will. Being set apart, being set aside for that purpose. And this is the only purpose for by keeping his commandments. The most basic, which is found in, I shared this verse last week, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, which says, "Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together." Now, we don't have to pray about things that has been commanded, do we? We don't have to pray about that, because it's the basic truth for each one of us. As Christians, we just know that. And if the Bible mentions it there or puts it there even one time, many times, well, in John chapter 8, where Jesus is clarifying his deity, he says, "I am not alone. I am from the Father. I am from above. I am with you." That whole chapter, there's not another book in the Bible where Jesus explains his deity like he does in John chapter 8. All the way through the 58 verses, he says, "I am, I am, I am, I am." And even though we might not see this verse, Hebrews 10:25, "For not second assembly of yourselves, as some do," if it's mentioned one time. So we don't have to pray about it, things that have been commanded. See, it's God's will that you be in his house, that you be in church. When? At Christmas? Yes. And where? Whenever the church assembles together. Now, John chapter 9, verse 31 says, "If any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, then he hears." Who hears? The Father hears. You see, when we are closest to him, he hears us. He's right there for us. He's not obligated any other way, any otherwise. Sin can separate us and our relationship with him if we do not do that. So we need to come together to worship and to work on that sanctification. It's, you know what? It's a lifelong process. Just like marriage, right? How long does it take to make a marriage? A lifetime. A lifetime. Anything we do, it's a process. And being set aside as sanctification in our lives, that means we are set aside for good works, good deeds, to serve, to worship, to praise God. It's a long process in our life. Anything we do, when we put forth an effort, whether it be in sports or whatever it is, it's a process, ongoing, in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, "Work out your salvation continually, that you might be acceptable in the sight of God." And we all want to be acceptable, don't we? And in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, what is acceptable, and perfect, the will of God." You see, it must be important for it to be mentioned like this, the will of God. To prove what is good. And we like everything that's good, right? We like things that are acceptable, just like God. And perfect. And perfect means being complete. Just like Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, where he says, "Be ye perfect as I am perfect." And we say, "Oh, we never measure up to that." But we can if we work on it. It's a continual process in our life, not giving up when we trip or fall, make a mistake or sin. We say, "Forgive me, Lord," meaning from my heart. And then we move on in the process of our sanctification, being set apart to do the will of God. Now, making good decisions. Did Joseph make a good decision? He did, didn't he? Why did he make a good decision? Going back, saying it again, because he wanted to do the will of God. And the old selfish body, the old sinful body of ours, sometimes does the wrong things, doesn't it? We come up to a wall sometimes and we stop there instead of proceeding on with God's will. See, when facing big decisions, some people freeze with fright. What if I decide wrong? What if I miss God's will? What if? What if? To make good decisions, first of all, take all these worries and put them under God's promise. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says, but be joyful in all things. What the Bible says. See, God cares for you, watches over you, and guides your steps. Every day he does that. And see, Joseph came to the best decision he could, but God had other plans and made them clear. And you see, if you want to know God's will perfectly, he will make it clear to you as well. And most of our decisions will not be overruled by angels, but that's no reason for lack of confidence to make good decisions. Secondly, it's much vital part of the Christian life is to pray. Evaluate all options. You know, that's why God gives us a brain, right? Now, I'll admit sometimes I don't always use good judgment using my brain. You know, last week I couldn't see. Today I can't talk. And everybody said, have you been to the doctor? I said, no, not yet. But we need to pray. We need to evaluate all options. Talk sometime with a trusted friend. And then act in faith. See, God is with you. See, God is with you and me every step that we take in life. Now, if we could comprehend that and know that he is with every step and not get discouraged, which we do. I'm sure Joseph, he got discouraged. He was discouraged, but then he got lifted up because when the angel spoke to him, he said, hey, you're okay. Everything's going to work out. God's plan is at work, even in you, Joseph. And that's why he made the right decision. If you want to make a right decision, do it God's way. Many, many years ago, as I was reading, I read Dr. Stanley, Charles Stanley, pastor of First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I was reading one of a devotion. It was on prayer. Now I remember reading this. It's always stuck in my mind that when you're so sincere in God's perfect will being done, knowing that you are in his will and you're making a right decision, when you choose whatever that decision is, God will not allow you to choose outside of his will. Now, that's always stuck with me. And that means a lot, too. When you're earnest and you pray and you seek God's perfect will, then he will not allow you to choose outside of his will because you're in sync with him. You have the mind of Christ. What perfect way to have the mind of Christ. When you pray, evaluate all your options and talk with a trusted friend, then act in faith and God will be with you every step. Now, being in church and being faithful is the most basic step of doing God's will. And please do not try to ever rationalize that away. or let anyone else rationalize that away, because you know it's the right thing to do. It's the right decision to make, just like Joseph made the right decision because he wanted to be in God's will. Consciously, spiritually, it's the right thing to do God's will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your divine intervention, intervening in our lives, always at work. If we'd just pause and stop each day and take time to spend some time with you in devotion and prayer. I mean, we can do the praying as we're driving or as we're sitting or as we're waiting. Just pray that we make right decisions. And sometimes we do get in dilemmas. Sometimes we dream a lot, fantasize. But Lord, what you look in our lives is to be in your will. I pray this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here, as I said, first thing is that you offer us a salvation. And then you set us apart to serve you. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, Lord, I pray through the Holy Spirit will make that clear. And you will. You'll make it very clear. All we do is got to ask you and or run to you to seek your will. Lord, whatever and however you're working in each one of our lives here today, Lord, may our hearts be open and sensitive enough to say yes to you, Lord. Oh, how we'll be blessed if we're willing to do that. Undisturbed, your will be done. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.